Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to this week's Blog Talk Radio. Our topic today is motherhood and how this role benefits the planet in 21st century. Angela and I are speaking to you live from Tennessee and Louisiana. Angela, you there?
Hello. Yes, I am. Hello.
Hey, sweetie. Hello, listeners. Everyone, just we want to share with you, Angela is having an extraordinary journey this week. So we're very blessed to have her because she's in transition. We'll share a little bit about that later. But a dream manifestation showed up this year for her, and we're excited. And I really appreciate her being here this week because most especially this is one that's fast moving for her. You would say that, yeah, Angela?
Oh, I would say that and more.
So just to kind of start, woo, girl. So we'll try to kind of keep it flowing. We had some last minute outline notes, and
yeah,
I'm hoping Angela might.
Please be patient with us.
Bear with us for this one for sure. You know, in kind of looking for some of this information that came up, I was thinking about the what motherhood, kind of what that role means. And, you know, it really comes from a variety of places. You know, I don't just look at motherhood being one way. Like, you know, you have to be female, you have to, you know, be have bared children. And you'll see as I share some of that, right, Angela?
Right, right.
Yeah. Right. You'll see as we share some of this that, you know, that has other things, but the Webster Dictionary talks about it as a noun. It's about female parent, even the superior of a religious community of women. I guess the mother superior of the Catholic Church that would be pointing to. It also said about source and origin, to give birth to produce, to care, protect like a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought about Mother Nature, you know, being the physical universe.
Oh, perfect, perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mother Nature could be male, female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it could have masculine and feminine both properties in it, in our physical universe. And yet the procreation comes in. It talks about bringing forth seeds, bringing forth offspring, that kind of thing. So it has diversified roles, and I was thinking about even this question that's kind of out there on the fringes. What is, if we give birth to a project, does that mean we're connected to our feminine aspect?
Mm. I think, you know, I would think that would be an accurate description of it.
And men give birth to projects too.
Yeah.
You know, not to babies, but...
No, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll have another show about what it would be like if a man could have a baby.
Oh, God. I think a couple of my guy friends right now going, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. Do you remember those movies that they had with, what was his name?
Arnold Schwarzenegger did one.
Yes, yes, that's exactly
that was
what
funny.
I was thinking. And then I think on the show, The Cosby Show, he had a dream about him giving birth to a boat. Did you ever see that one?
Oh, God.
It was like him and his friends were all pregnant. All the men were pregnant. And the women were talking to them, and it was the funniest episode. But then when they started having babies, they were giving birth to products. It was funny as hell. Heck, I guess I would say heck. Oh, my God. That's what it kind of reminded me about, you know, feminine and masculine energy in one body. Men give birth to toys.
Yeah, exactly, but that's their babies.
Yeah.
Hey,
and I think that they also kind of claim them as their babies too.
Mhm. I know my dad did. He had a Z28 Camaro, and oh my God. Oh, that car was just, he loved that car.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. So I was thinking about, you know, moms that are not like are non-traditional moms, and I've got a friend of mine named Joanne, and she works in a doggy daycare called A Bark Above, but she has fantastic mothering energy towards rescue animals. She's very nurturing, and she is one of the few people, human beings that I know, that can actually work with injured animals, and they just respond to her energy field. They just are, you know, where other people can't even touch them, these injured animals really, really feel protected with her. So I love that she's worked with that. I've known Joanne a long time, and she also has a son as a mother. She is mother to a son. But I can remember years ago, she would get out of bed 3 o'clock in the morning and go rescue animals. People would call her, and she worked with them. And so I've also seen her at the doggy daycare, and these animals just get so excited being in her energy. Another friend of mine named Kirsty, she just is so in love with cats. She is, you know, a non-traditional mother. While she didn't give birth to children, she literally nurtures all these cats in her neighborhood. She adopted a dog that used to run around with a mailman, and they wanted to pick the doggy up, and so her and her husband adopted this dog. So they nurture him, and his name is Bogey, and he's really sweet. And so also with the cats, it's amazing. She gets them spayed. She it's at her financial cost to her and her husband, but she really has a passion for animals not being orphaned, you know, especially cats. And so she helped establish a space station that comes around and works with income, you know, it has like a income level, you know, that depending on your income level, you can get your animal spayed. Yeah. She works with that just so that people can be more responsible with their animals. So I thought that was, you know, another way of looking at other aspects of mothering that are not like in our most traditional role.
Right. I guess it would it's like mother as a sense of nurturing. Nurturing, it would be considered, you know, mothering, no matter who's doing it or what you're doing. Or it doesn't have to be a human baby. But
exactly.
It's just all about nurturing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I see that kind of nurturing that you would give to your children. I see that kind of energy in, you know, these particular aspects as well. So it's real exciting because they're both big. They have both of them have very, very big hearts. And, you know, this is how they express it when it comes to, you know, the nurturing and nourishing part. They're really good friends, but they also, you know, in that part of mothering, since that's our topic. Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that Angela and I was looking at is where did some of these origins of motherhood come up, or mothering, or female, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, goddesses, and there's a couple websites of different cultures. One of them is the Eastern Indian mythologies. Shakti was a mother goddess, the source of all, a universal principle of energy, power, or creativity. If you wanted to talk about the mythology of Shakti, you can kind of Google that. One of the sites that had the information was webnautics.com, webnautics.com, and /mythology/Shakti, Shakti. You can find information about Shakti on that particular site. And we also had, I receive this email every month, I guess. It's about from the Goddess Path. And this particular month of May was about mothers and mothers around the world. So if you would love to have a copy of that, you could email us at tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com. That's tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to forward you this particular copy because I'm not sure if it's archived or not. But you can also go to goddessgift.com and find some of this, you know, you can sign up for their newsletter if you're interested. It's all about goddesses, and that is GODDESSGIFT.com. And one of the things they talked about was the ancient pagan festivals for centuries, the three-day festival honoring Gaia and Rhea, and that was called Hilaria. And they also talked about the creation of the Mother Church and a war with the white goddess. I guess that was some of the pagan goddesses. They spoke about Mothering Sunday and the festival of St. Bridget. Not Brigard. My oops. That's you. But the Celtic goddess. So some of that information's in that particular Goddess Path issue, number 43, and I'll be happy to forward that to anyone that is interested in reading about that.
Yeah, and also we want to talk about the very first Mother's Day celebrations were held in honor of the Egyptian goddess. I'm going to talk about a little bit about the Egyptian goddess Nut. And you can find more about her at www.goddessgift.com. Might be pronouncing her name wrong. It might be Nut, but the Egyptian goddess, and her name is spelled N-U-T, was a sky goddess who was married to Re, who was the creator, a god of the sun. And there's an interesting story about her and Re. She had been with his brother and a couple of other people, and when he found out about it, he decided that, you know, he was going to kind of curse her without being able to be a mother, which, you know, it's a very interesting story. If you go to that website, there's some it talks about how she was able to come out of that and be a mother, but she was widely known for she was very, very beautiful, and she was incredibly kind. And the myths of the goddess Nut or Nut instruct us never to give up, but we should hold on to our precious dreams always. She had a dream. She had a desire to be a mother. She didn't give up. She explored her options, and she was able to do what it was she wanted to do, and that was to give birth. And she reminds us to preserve and to accept the help of others when we need it, and which is what she did. She had gone to Thoth and asked for his assistance, of which he gave to her. So it's especially being single mothers out there, it's kind of hard for us to ask for help sometimes. Because you don't want people to, you know, I'm a single mother myself. You don't want people to perceive you as not being able to take care of what you need to take care of. So, you know, it's okay to help others, to accept the help of others when we need it. And that story reminds me of, you know, the journey that I've gone through with accepting help from others. So it's a really interesting story. Again, you can go to www.goddessgift.com read about that a little bit more there.
Yeah, and we can send that too. It's because part of the link was in the email that came from that particular Goddess Path issue. And I do believe it's Nut. The pronunciation is Nut. I have an actual friend of mine named Nut Butterfly, and I believe she has a connection about priestess, you know, the priestess.
Mm-hmm.
Hood. Anyway, you know, another aspect about concept of Mother Earth came centuries later in Greece. And Sharon, who is on the Goddess Path, had put this particular information together. So thanks be to Sharon at the Goddess Gift that brought this subject out when we received it, because it's really kind of fun to be able to see where people honored females or you know, women throughout the centuries. That's what I love. You know, Angela and I have a passion about empowering women and
yes.
using our natural gifts. Yes.
Yes. Most definitely. If so, I can't stress it enough, most definitely.
Yeah. And I just, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, combined, you know, we have, we are on different paths about how we support and empower them, but the commonality is, you know, being able to empower women to stand up for themselves and, you know, be led by their intuitive guidance. And so it's nice to have other women out in the world being able to collect this information and bring it out. So we can kind of expand our information, and thank goodness for the internet, because mm-hmm. I can imagine traveling to all these places and having to study the history, and some of the stuff is not in history books.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's not. It's, and there's a lot of this stuff that I actually learned about a few years ago when I gone back to school. I had taken some humanities classes, and it was just really very interesting, the stuff that I learned about the sacred feminine and the worshiping that back a really long time ago in ancient times, how they worshiped women for being able to give birth and bring life forth. So you're right, had I not taken some of those classes, I don't know if I would have ran across this information. I'm pretty sure I would have, but it was just very interesting to have a class about it and actually get into it and learn it.
So we have someone wanted to share about the website again, and let's go ahead and put that out there. It is the goddessgift.com. Let me go ahead and go back to that little piece. That you can find some of this at. It's thegoddessgift.com, GoddessGift.com. And I will just kind of put some of these in the little chat, links in the chat that talks about some of these mythologies that we're talking about right now. The concept of Mother Earth, it was shared once again in this topic, was in Greece in the 7th century. BCE, the poet, I think it's Hesiod, gave the deep-breasted earth mother the name Gaia, she who gave birth to the sky, the sea, and mountains, as well as the ruling gods called the Titans. And remember, we've seen, I guess, some of the Hollywood stories about the Titans, but I was always, mm-hmm. you know, Hercules and all those. That was really fun. The custom of Mothering Sunday was begun around that time. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's also in the Goddess Path issue from that site was about that, and you can read more about that information there as well. okay, so let me see also. Going on to another goddess, it was the Celtic goddess, Festival of St. Bridget. It talked about Bridget was loved as a goddess of peace and inspiration, one of compassion, generosity, and one who had great gifts of insight and wisdom. And her sacred day was connected with the ooze coming into milk. It became the St. Bridget's Day, and it said through formal mother worship was never completely eliminated in the British Isles by the 17th century.
Oh.
So I thought that was really an interesting, you know, kind of setting. There are so many festivals going around the world. I love that. And we want to give a shout out to our chat users. Thanks for showing up. Thank you for coming to join us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate
it. We
really,
really appreciate you listening in. And if you have any questions, we'll be happy to answer any that may show up. Just be happy to, you know, just kind of type it in for us. But thanks for joining us today. Let's see. What do we want to
do? I want to talk about the celebration of Mother's Day in the U.S. and the United States. It started out as a Women's Work Day for Child Welfare and a Mother's March for Peace. And then it became a perpetual memorial for one beloved mother after she died. And the founder of Mother's Day was later, actually, the founder of Mother's Day was arrested for protesting against the holiday. So, an interesting story. a few of us are more than aware, daily aware of the history of our modern celebration of these some of these extraordinary women. And in the United States, Mother's Day originated about 150 years ago when Anna Jarvis, an Appalachian homemaker, organized a Mother's Work Day to raise awareness of poor economic and health conditions affecting the children in her community, a cause she believed would be best advocated by mothers. Because, you know, who stays home with sick children and who sees all of this? It's the mothers.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
you know, we're there 24/7. You know, our job is never, just because we go to bed at night and the kids are sleeping doesn't mean that we're off the job. So,
isn't that the truth?
You can be called back to work at any given time during the night or day.
Notwithstanding, definitely. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh. It's funny. But when Anna Jarvis, when she died in 1905, her daughter, whose name was also Anna, wanted to start a memorial that was in honor of her mother's work. And so she began a campaign to institutionalize a holiday to honor all mothers. And so the first Mother's Day observance was a church service honoring Anna's mother. And all the other mothers that Anna arranged to have celebrated. And so she supplied the decorations for the service. She had white carnations, which were her mother's favorite flowers, because they represent sweetness, purity, and endurance. And so today, the white flowers signify that one's mother has died, and red carnations, over time, became the symbol of a living mother. So
wow.
I thought that would be a really interesting to share about how Mother's Day started here in the United States.
I know. Isn't that fascinating, Tess? You know, I always think about where the heck did that originate? You know, where did Mother's
mm-hmm.
Day originate? And wow, to just have it, to have someone come and, you know, once again, giving birth to an idea. Not only did the daughter kind of gave birth to an idea based on her relationship with her mom.
Right, and that's absolutely fascinating. And I've always wondered about that, and I'm pretty sure there's some other people who've wondered about it, but, you know, just never thought about, okay, let me go and, you know, research this. Let me go find this out, you know, like so many of us, you know, a lot of mothers. We're, you know, in the day-to-day doing, you know, all this other stuff, so it's good to actually have someone say, give us that little information on where they came from. So I thought that would be nice.
Yes, I believe that. And, you know, more than just the cards and the remembrance, again, thanks so much to Sharon at the Goddess Path for providing this information to help us, because, you know, being able to put it in one nice, neat little piece is just a blessing in disguise. And you're welcome again. If you can't get that issue 43, you can email Angela or I at tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com or ask for a comment. You can post a comment on our Blog Talk Radio, and we'll be happy to send you, you know, that particular issue if you're unable to get it from the goddessgift.com
yeah.
site. Because it has so much, I mean, it's just fascinating history and information and a lot of detail that, unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to talk about today. But, you know, more important than this, you know, I really would, this is so, there are so many sites popping up about empowering women these days. I love it. I love it. And,
I know, me too.
You know, Angela and I are going to share some about our personal relationships with our mother and also our relationship expanding into our children in just a minute. But I just thought this was an opportunity to recognize we are part of something universal. We're part of the procreation process. We all are sons and daughters of the earth as a human race family. And we're
mm-hmm.
connected with the same blood flowing in our veins. As far as, you know, it could be, it doesn't matter if it's A or B or
right.
O positive or O negative. we still have the same chemical makeup, the alchemy of human beings, and we all have very similar needs and desires coming out for calling out from our hearts. So it really comes part of that divinity, calling, honoring our spark of a divinity, the essence of where we really came from, that resides in us. And even though Mother's Day is commercialized, we can just be reminded in this month that we ought to take pause to appreciate the valiant attempts and the triumphs and the victories and the protective, like, you know, mother's lion. Is it like a lion's mother? Is that the phrase?
Mother bear.
Mother bear. And just that ferocious protectiveness that does lie in mothers. I mean, hurting babies, you better watch out. I mean, I think that we'd have, it wouldn't be like the strength of being able to lift a car up.
I actually had this conversation with someone last night, and I'm like, I have a lot of patience when it comes to myself, but my children, if I feel like they're being harmed, I become that mother bear.
Oh yeah, that, you know, I have found out that several teachers, you know, let's just say that several teachers have learned very quickly.
Yeah.
that, you know, I don't turn a blind eye to my children, but I have their back.
Yes.
You know, that's just bottom line, I have their back. And I will come toe-to-toe with them, and thank goodness I haven't in a long time. But let me tell you, I have gone to the school and I said, okay, we're going to talk about this.
Yes.
There was a site that talked about, you know, when another site that we found was, it was really cute. I got an email from my sister. I had a video on there. Mother of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
You remember the one I sent you?
Yeah.
I know, I was too, because, you know, at first you thought, oh my gosh, did she really do this? Is this like a news? It was hilarious, but it also gave you a chance to acknowledge something that's kind of like been said, a thankless job, yeah?
Yes.
You know, and that's a sad thing to say about motherhood being a thankless job. It's got a lot of attributes. It brings a lot of joy. And yet at the same time, it's kind of like we don't get paid for it.
Mm-mm.
We get paid in different things. We're not, in other words, we don't get paid a salary. Let me preface it that way.
Yeah.
But there's some statistics that we were going to share a little bit about from momsrising.org. So that's MOMSRISING.org. And there's some statistics about moms in the marketplace, even though we are probably 95% of the buyers. There's still that undervalue financial piece about financial equality. So they were sharing about that a little bit, that we make 73 cents to every dollar that a man makes on the same position. I think that's changing. And I also think with a lot of women entrepreneurs, that's really shifting that tide. So that's some of the good news.
Yeah. Yeah, and a single mother is also make only about 60 cents to a man's dollar. So, you know, for, you know, the same work, most often that, you know, of our counterparts, our male counterparts in the office. And I've actually been witness to that because I was working for an agency here in Louisiana, and I remember, and I was going to say accidentally, but there's no accidents. I remember coming across someone had left someone else's, I can't remember what they call it, but it's got your pay and your insurance and all of that on there, and they left it on my desk, and I opened it up thinking it was mine. And I opened it up, and it was a new guy that they had hired that didn't have – I have a degree. He didn't have a degree, and he was making at least $2 more an hour than I was.
Wow.
So it does happen, yeah. It does happen, and he had just come in. He didn't, you know, he didn't have the experience, and he didn't have, you know, my degree, but yet he was, you know, he was making more than I was, and he had just started.
Yeah, and I what I love about not only, you know, about the internet, but I can remember my mom worked and you know, we're about to roll into that, but I can guarantee you that women that not only did they start in the workplace, but they were multitasking. And full-time moms, they didn't come with Social Security benefits or health benefits. They did rely on spouses. What happens if the spouse passes away? You know,
right?
Yes, some of the Social Security benefits do pass on, but they're not very much.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
And the health benefits, they get lost. You know, the mother has to pick it up or make changes. So even to this day, it's good to be able to start looking and seeking for supportive groups, and we're going to supply a couple of those towards the end. But, you know, kind of moving into some of our personal stories. You know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s as a child, and, you know, a lot of women were still staying at home. My mom actually was one of the ones that actually went to work. So there wasn't a whole lot of confirmation or conversations about moms working outside the home right around those times. But I actually was raised by my older sisters, and so that was my reality. And a lot of times I felt really alone, even with sisters. They weren't the mother. They were close to my age. So they had sister energy, but they definitely didn't have mother nurturing energy.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom worked nights and she worked days. And so from about the second grade on, I pretty much dressed myself. I learned how to take care of myself, how to get myself to school, because when she would come in at night and sleep, I was getting, you know, she would sleep from being out late. I would get up in the morning. And it felt very independent, but, you know, I didn't know any different. I just thought that that's kind of how things roll.
Mm-hmm.
My mom also had 6 children by the time she was 25, and I had 1 at that age. So I can just,
wow.
I can't imagine.
I know.
Cannot imagine. And I know other mothers, you know, in her lifetime and in our grandmother's lifetime had 11, 12 children. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Imagine. But you know,
I don't want to imagine.
No, that, you know, 3 I had was plenty busy enough. But she had 25, and I don't think she was really prepared for it. I think that she was told by a doctor back then, no, you're not going to have many children. And then some of the birth control was very primitive, and they didn't work. So she, here you go, welcome world of 6 children. And her outlet was working. You know, she felt overwhelmed. She was the baby of her family. By the time I was aware of my grandmother, she was in a nursing home. So I don't think my mom had the benefit. She did have friends, and they were supportive. But I think there was a part of my mother that she just really, she didn't feel motherly. She didn't really want to. And that overwhelming, like, oh, my God, if I tell people I'm a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was stuffed, okay? So there were other avenues that my mom kind of dysfunctionally kind of went off to.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of that, I loved her. I was so devoted. You know, like, I want you, me, as a child does at 7, 8 years old, 6 years old. She came out one day, I don't know if it was just an overwhelming day, and she says, you know, Valerie, you want so much. You want too much. I don't think I can give you all the love that you want. And that moment, it impacted my life. You know, at 7, you don't really know that it's about them.
You really don't.
You know, I kind of thought something was wrong with me.
With you. You internalize. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I absorb it. It's like a sponge. And so here she is working full time. She, even though I think she had a choice, she didn't really have to work. There was a part of her. I think she just wanted her independence. And so she wanted that money. She wanted money, you know, the choice based on the relationship she had with my father. And so she started working, and she wanted to have that. And, of course, she was really generous with the money. I mean, she did spend it. But I wanted her. I was one of the kids that I didn't care about the money. I didn't care about the goodies. I didn't care about the Christmases. I wanted her.
The
and
time.
So that, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And my dad traveled a lot in the military. And so here she was with us, no breather space, you know, and there's only so much kids can do. She had, in 14 years, she had 6 of us, and Wow. I know that, you know, it wasn't a reality about that until, you know, I was younger. So I remember that comment. I stayed with me for a long time, and fast forward to mine. When it was time for me to give birth, I was terrified. You know, I just thought, oh, my gosh, I don't want to have to not resent my children. I don't want to have to feel
mm-hmm.
overwhelmed like she did. And it was just a frightening time for me. There's, you know, I didn't have the, oh, I cannot wait to have this baby, or, oh, I love it. There was so much.
Yeah.
So much healing that I was coming through. But when I had my firstborn, it was like liquid gold, like
mm-hmm.
God just kissed me. And I ended up really honoring and embracing that role, and it changed my life, and it also changed how I looked at people. I embraced it, and yeah, it was challenging. All three different children were challenging, but when I look at how it expanded me as my nurturing and fulfilling me, I wouldn't give anything. It's priceless, and it just, you know, it gave me a chance to understand and heal that particular statement from my mom, but also kind of I wanted to be the kind of mom to my kids that was interdependent, and I wanted to give them enough of me that they would never feel, you know, that they were by themselves. And so I think I balanced that. Yeah, I think I balanced that pretty good. So I'm going to pass the baton to you, Angela, so you can share.
Well, we have similar stories, and we had talked about this before, but, you know, my mother, she was the same way. And I think, especially back then, my mom got married maybe late 60s, early 70s, and she got out of her, she grew up in a foster home, so she was not treated all that well where she was. And so I think mainly her reason for getting married was wanting to get out of her foster parents' house. And so there was no time to figure out who you were. Because women back then were supposed to, you get out, you know, you graduate high school and you get married. I mean, you know, you otherwise, you know, something's wrong with you if you're not, you know, with someone. And I said, that's what happened with her. And everything happened so fast. And she had my brother, my sister, and I, like, bam, bam, bam. My sister a year after I was born. And then my brother and my sister are, like, 11 months apart. So she had all of us. She was married. She was doing the house, you know, doing the stay-at-home mom thing, and I think she realized that, hey, you know what, she didn't get time to be Rose. She never got time to just figure out who she was, and then all of a sudden she has a husband and three kids.
Wow.
So, you know, trying to, and I understand that now, trying to find time to be you, in a time where you didn't, like you said before, you didn't say that to anyone. If you did say that to someone, then you were a bad mother. How dare you complain about being a mother or just vent about your frustrations and how you feel. You're just venting. You want to talk. You want to get how dare you? You must be a bad mom to do that. And so there was no outlet like there is today. You know, women today, we're owning our feelings, and we're owning the fact that we were individuals before we had children. So being, you know, watching her in my mind's eye go through that affected my choices in men, because her and my father split up when I was young, and she brought, you know, her boyfriend right into the house. And so I picked up, she didn't say that this is the way it went, but I picked up on her actions, and so I chose men who were not emotionally available for themselves, so they couldn't be there for me. And so it affected my choices in men, but I started to come to realize that my own self-worth later on, especially when my children were little and, you know, I was in my with their father, I was at home one day thinking, you know what, I have to think about me for a change. And so, you know, we split up, and it was, you know, I was getting my degree while my children were very young, and also learning about who I was and trying to get back to myself so that I could be an example to my son as well as my daughter of how to nurture yourself so that you can be nurturing to others.
Yes, yes, bingo. And, I mean, I think it's interesting because I don't remember, and you think about this too, that piece.
Yes.
I don't know if I learned how to nurture before. I know I didn't learn how to nurture myself before my children were born. That was a missing piece.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I think that that choice of being a mother and facing and dealing with that kind of invoked more of that. You know, I wanted to be nurturing to them. I definitely wanted what didn't work for my mother. I wanted that to work with my children. But yeah, that was a great, thanks for sharing that, because I think that that's true. There's, you know, we have wonderful women friends, and we have wonderful things going out there in the world to try to tap into that. But there's just something about that missing piece, that hiccup, emotionally especially.
Now, when you have that missing piece, you look
yes.
for it in other people who can't give it to you because you haven't given it to yourself.
I think even with my parents, I think with that, my mom, you know, she was looking, even with us, I can remember,
mm-hmm.
she was wanting, you know, it was like we were supposed to look at her a certain way and to have these feelings for her. But yet
and fill
she
up
was,
that hole.
Yeah, and she had a hole that she didn't know how to fill up, and that
mm-hmm.
was like taboo subjects, you know? Oh my gosh! Well, and we ought to have another thing about female. We'll do a female communication.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, because you know that's kind of that. But yeah, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
That piece. So you know, let's talk about motherhood in the 21st century. It really is, like Angela said, getting real. Let's share the glory and the not so glorious roles about being moms. There's a great article and some sites. It's called grumpymoms.com. And
I love
Grumpy
it.
Mom. Yeah. I mean, she kind of turns the reality on, and I'm going to share this in our chat room too, about, you know, the not so glorious and the glorious things about motherhood. And kudos to her for kind of setting that up. She's a Quaker Tom mother of three. Her name is Shannon Lelli. She confesses even though she loves her little one, she has moments of colossal grumpiness and imperfection. Hallelujah, because we do. We all know that we have those.
Oh, my God, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Shannon, for your voicing, you know. And more moms are coming out. There's another site that their mission is to touch each mom's life one mom at a time. It's called justformoms.com. And I'm going to put that in our chat room as well. And a mommy's mentor group founded in 2004, a resource for all women, young and old, single and married, divorced, called mommymentors.com. Again, if anyone wants this information on their show, those particular .coms, just send us an email at tweakingyourvibrations@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to send some of those links to you. Our time is kind of coming to a close. We have a few
yes.
fun things we want to share.
Okay, what you want to do the talk about the second grade children? What they shared about who moms were?
Yeah, we're doing, and we just want to say to again, thank you for our beautiful chat line listeners. Thank you. So
yes,
much
thank you guys
for showing
and please,
up and coming to us, yes, we so
yeah.
appreciate you, and we'd love to share your comments about joining us today, and just as you know, is whatever role you have, you know, if you're
yeah.
a mother to whatever animal, the planet, caring for the environment, tapping into your feminine aspect of your procreation towards manifesting
yeah.
dreams and desires, you know, those could be your maybe projects as well, whether you're an author, a dancer, you know, an actress, all of that has those nurturing, you know, compassion, agape loves, regardless of what your hats do. The greatest
right.
power on the world and the planet is love. And
sure
send
is.
That love out. Send it out to other people and offer them that, because it definitely helps enhance wholeness and well-being. So, Angela, you want to take, you know, kind of start a little fun thing? We're going to leave and our set with some of the funniest things about second graders sharing about what moms, why God made moms.
Okay,
ahead,
let's
Angela.
See. Answers given by second grade school students, children, to the following questions. Why did God make mothers? One, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That's so true. Second, mostly to clean the house. And third, to help us out of there when we're getting bored.
That was funny. Okay, so how did God make moms? He used dirt just like the rest of us. Magic plus superpowers and a lot of stirring. He made my mom just like he made me. He just used bigger parts. I thought that was funny.
These are so cute. What ingredients are mothers made of? Okay, God made mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of me.
One dab of me.
Just a little bit of mean. And two, they had to get their start from men's bones. Then they mostly use string, I think. Poor thing, that was not even sure.
Yeah. Okay, so why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? We're related.
I love that one.
God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's mom likes me. I thought that was funny as heck.
Oh, God. Okay. What kind of a little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff, which is something my daughter told me a couple of weeks ago. she said, you were never a child. Two, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. I love it. And then three, they say she used to be nice.
She used to be nice. They say. Oh my God. So why did mom need to know about dad before she married him? His last name. She had to know his background, like, is he a cook? Is he a crook, or does he get drunk on beer?
Which he does now.
Yeah, or does he make at least $800 a year, and did he say no to the drugs and yes to chores?
Sure.
I thought that was funny, yeah.
That's
did
so
he say
cute.
Yes to chores? Oh, my God.
Okay, why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world, and my mom eats a lot. Two, she got too old to do anything else with him. And three, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on.
I think I've heard that a couple of times in conversations with moms and grandmas.
Oh, God, that's funny.
Who's the boss at your house? It says mom doesn't want to be boss, but she has to because dad's such a goofball. Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
I know. Dad gets the fun hat, you know. I know
yes.
that. Who gets to be the boss? Mom, you can tell by the room inspection. She sees the stuff under the bed.
Yes, you don't even have to get down there to see it.
Yeah, right. And she says, I guess my mom is, only because she has a lot more to do than my dad.
Okay, dads, if you're listening.
Yeah, exactly.
You hear that? Okay. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work. At work. Two, moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Now, you know, I don't know about that. I don't know. I've gotten pretty scared before, but okay. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you go to ask if you want to do a sleepover at your friend's.
Oh, yeah, the mom has
that's
to
right.
that one.
We got to approve that. And four, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. I love that one.
Oh, I know. That's so sweet. So what does your mom do in her spare time? Moms don't do spare time. I think that was one of my favorites. And to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day
all
long.
All day long. Oh, God. I love it. Okay. What would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Oh, my God. They just don't. They tell the truth as they see it. Okay.
Yeah,
and two.
So woke.
Yeah. Diet. You know her hair. I dye it maybe blue. But they have diet, D-I-E-T. So, okay.
I dye
yes.
it maybe blue. Oh, my gosh. That was so funny.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Okay. And the last one, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I get rid of that. We're going to do away with that. Two, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my brother who did it and not me. Aw. And three, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head.
Yeah.
You know, we all have them. We all have them.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, friends, we keep kind of adding to our 30-day. Now we got 45, and we still went over. But thank you. Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
To all our listeners, to future and present, we so appreciate you. We're going to skip next Sunday because of Angela's transition, but our next blog talk will be June 7th. It's going to be about orbs, spirits, and how they communicate with us. Angela's got some juicy stories about those areas. I'm really looking forward to her sharing.
Yummy, yummy.
Yes, and one of the reasons why we're not having a show next Sunday is Angela's fulfilling one of her dreams that quickly manifested this year when she deliberately focused on being in alignment with it, and that is a move to the San Diego,
yeah.
California. Thank you. The part of the world that makes her feel like she's more at home, and it's just I am so celebrating with her. I'd love to be in the suitcase for at least about a month out on the beach. But now that she's moving out there, now I have a reason to go. So, but congratulations
yeah.
online, Angela, for really playing with this manifestation. You know, we talk about that. One of our shows is about really working with your thoughts, becoming things, and she is model proof for this. Well, I'm so excited for her, so woohoo! And you,
I'm excited, and I'm excited, I'm tired, I'm overwhelmed, I'm every emotional, I'm from one spectrum to the other at some point in time during the day, so, but I'm really excited about going there, it feels like home, and it's time to go home.
Yes, yes, yes. We are so happy about that.
So okay, guys. If anybody wants more information about myself or Val, you're welcome to check out our website, tweakingyourvibrations.com. That's TweakingYourVibrations.com. And as Val said earlier, we both have an absolutely unbelievable passion for empowering and assisting everyone in living their greatest potential. So we offer unique services tailored to our mission and purpose around these passionate endeavors. So if you would go to our website, we have bios. Both Val has hers up there and I have mine. And just, you know, email us and let us know if there is anything that we can do for you, and we would be more than glad to help you.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for ending on that note. And everyone have a wonderful Memorial holiday weekend.
Woo-hoo!
We so appreciate you. We thank you for listening to us and listening. We hope you enjoyed our motherhood conversation topic about the origins and how it became relevant in the United States. We love being moms. We also love being women.
Yes.
And
yes.
again, our next topic will be orbs, spirits, and all that kind of stuff, metaphysical, paranormal stuff. We're going to have fun with that on June 7th at 2. Join us, please, then. Have a fantastic couple of weeks, and we will catch you next time.
Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks everybody. Bye-bye.